This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The gavel dropped on the 2013 session of the North Carolina General Assembly about 6 minutes ago. As we speak, legislators in the State House and Senate are getting comfortable in their chairs for what is sure to be a busy couple of months. The changes they enact are not likely to be subtle. Governor Pat McCrory may have set the tone in comments he made yesterday in the Morning in America radio show when he took aim at the UNC system.
I think some of the educational elite have taken over our education where we're offering courses that have no chance of getting people jobs.
Higher education, just one area expected to come under scrutiny. Tax policy, voter ID, gun control, energy, all expected to be targeted by the Republican leadership for significant changes. And here to give us a preview of what may happen is Jessica Jones, WUNC Capital Bureau Chief. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you so much.
A lot of newcomers to the State House, though you are now serving your second full term.
And I
just wonder how it looks to you compared to the last time you were there, the beginning of the last session that you covered.
Well, there has been a lot of turnover, and redistricting was probably the biggest reason. Last year, Republicans were in charge of redrawing those maps for redistricting, and that has really helped to consolidate the majority in both houses that they gained in 2008. And remember, they gained power in both houses for the first time since Reconstruction. And then there have been some other lawmakers who've retired and taken other jobs after years and years of working here at the General Assembly.
So they've had control for a while, but this is the first time now they also have a Republican in the governor's mansion. What's it look like at the State House? How are things on this first day? Confused? People looking for their seats? Mr. Speaker, he's in my chair. Any of that?
Well, today it's a real contrast to the sessions that we saw last year, the short session, and then the long session the year before that. And on both of those days, the first day that lawmakers convened was a huge day. The halls were always filled with people. There were all kinds of press conferences. Sometimes there were rallies outside on the sidewalk, and it was always a very festive mood. And the thing that has really struck me today is that it is oddly quiet here. And the House and Senate, as you said, have gaveled in, but they're not expected to be in their chambers for long. And I think what's clear about all of this is that there is just a lot of work going on behind the scenes. And I think this sets the stage for how the rest of the session is going to be.
Well, we talked about a lot of the new members, and as you say, maybe much of what's going to happen now with a clear majority and a Republican governor, things can happen behind the scenes and then out to committee and out on the floor when everything's ready. But a lot of new membership, and yet the leadership is pretty much unchanged. Who are the important players in the General Assembly this year?
Well, the big players at the General Assembly are pretty much the same. Tom Tillis is still the Speaker of the House. Phil Berger is Senate President. Representative Paul Stamm is still very powerful in the House. And like you said, the difference is now that we have a Republican governor, and that does make all the difference in the world. So I think we're going to probably see a lot of legislation that gets shuttled through, in contrast to the difficult relationship that Democratic Governor Bev Perdue had with the Republican-led legislature. And I'll just say it's also been very clear in recent days that Governor McCrory is going to be working with the legislature very closely. And when I was driving into my parking space today, I saw him walking over this morning with a few aides and legislators after a private breakfast that was held for lawmakers. And I think that we are going to be seeing him here quite often.
Pat McCrory was very public yesterday, albeit on a national radio show. He was talking about ways he might want to revamp how public universities are funded. What changes did he suggest?
That's right. Well, he said that he had instructed his staff to draft legislation that could alter the state money that universities and community colleges receive and tie that to how many students get jobs. But his staff has really backtracked, and they have said that his education policy is still being crafted. So I think it really remains to be seen. It may have been an off-the-cuff statement. Many people from Charlotte have told me that when Governor McCrory was mayor of Charlotte, that he did have a habit of saying things off the cuff, and then sometimes his staff would backtrack a little bit. So we'll see exactly what's going to happen with that. But it certainly didn't make some people at UNC Chapel Hill very happy. That's for sure.
Well, he talked about wanting to hold the university system accountable for the number of jobs it produces. In other words, funding would be tied to whether students got jobs and not so much just how many students are there. And he also disparaged studies, gender studies programs in particular. He said, if you want that, you ought to go to a private school. Why is the state studying, subsidizing gender studies because that's never going to get you a job, according to the governor. So that's what he said. And you say today that the staff is now backpedaling a little bit.
Right. So they're saying that his education policy is still being crafted. And what they've said is that he's going to take a full look at all aspects of education, from pre-K to K-12 to community colleges and universities. So they're not – they haven't issued any more statements about what Governor McCrory said about UNC Chapel Hill in particular.
So and the other – question, of course, everybody has is, yeah, a solid majority in the House and the Senate and a Republican governor, but can the governor hold this Republican majority together? Is it harder to govern in the majority now when you have kind of everybody on your side? You've got to hold them together. What's the speculation around there about his ability to keep people together?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. I think in the beginning, many people expected that the governor and leading Republicans were going to move in lockstep. But I think we've already seen that in fact they don't agree on every single thing. And I think we saw that with conversations about revamping the tax code. That's one of the biggest items on Republican leaders' agenda and the governor's as well. But it's pretty clear that there are some different plans floating around among Republicans about how best to revamp the tax code. And there hasn't really been a consensus that's come out yet. So I think that may be the beginning of some very interesting discussions that we're going to see. And again, I think a lot of it is probably going to happen behind the scenes, but I think comments will come out, things will come out, and we will be able to, I think, see that not all of the Republican leaders are marching in lockstep.
So it's likely that we'll wait a while to see any kind of a proposed change in the tax code. What is likely then to be first up? What's tops on the debate agenda?
Well, probably I would say the first thing is dealing with unemployment benefits. Lawmakers have proposed cutting unemployment benefits paid by the state from about $535 to $350, and they'd like to limit the number of weeks people can receive state benefits. And there is a bill that is apparently going to be in committee tomorrow, so that's something to watch. And voter ID is another issue that is resurfacing. That's something that Republican leaders have been talking about, and they've been saying that they support the idea of voters coming to the polls with a photo ID. Again, there have been some differences. Governor McCrory previously had said that he would be open to that. He didn't necessarily think a photo was the only thing that people would have to bring to the polls. But some members of the Republican leadership seem to insist on the photo idea. So we'll see where that goes.
Mental health care also might see some reforms. What are the Republicans hoping to do there?
Well, actually, there's a big problem looming. There is a bill that's been filed that would provide some state funding to help residents of group homes find a place to live at the end of the month. And this is something that has been going on for some time. About 1,400 people with mental illness and developmental disabilities are no longer eligible for Medicaid reimbursements for personal care services. And so the fear is that some of those people could be put out on the street. Now, the new Secretary of Health and Human Services earlier this month told me that she is committed to helping residents find a place to live at the end of the month. And she said that it had to come from a legislative fix. So it sounds like lawmakers are working on it. But, of course, we almost are at the end of the month. So time is definitely ticking on that one.
Many Republicans have said they want to roll back some of the green energy policies that were put in place in 2007. Governor McCrory came out in favor of Barack Obama's offshore wind initiative. Is there a disagreement brewing over the future of green energy?
I think that's something that's lower down on legislators' list, to be honest with you. And I think Governor McCrory has sees it as something that could potentially be business friendly because other states have started good green energy programs, started manufacturing products that can be used in the industry. But Governor McCrory really hasn't spelled that out. And I think, I guess to talk about sort of our the state's regular energy needs, one of the biggest things that has emerged is that state lawmakers are still very, very interested in natural gas fracking. Now, right now, there's a two-year moratorium on fracking in the state, but there have been some comments made by state leaders that they want to speed that up. So I think we're going to see more movement on I guess, traditional sources of energy here in the state at this point.
Of course, a big event in every legislative session is the unveiling of the governor's proposed budget. This year, for the first time in a while, a little bit of a surplus anticipated. When do we expect an unveiling, and what has the governor said about what it might look like?
The governor really hasn't said much about what it might look like. It's expected that he may release the budget, his budget, at least in mid-March, and he's going to probably release his tax plan at the same time. At least that's what we're expecting at this point. But no one is really sure exactly what to expect, because I think with all of these different proposals, there are so many people who have come to the table and have slightly different views. And so, again, there hasn't been a great consensus on many of these issues. And so I think it's really hard to say exactly what that's going to look like. So far, this month has just been so full of surprises, I think, when you look at how lawmakers have and have not been working together. When you look at comments that the governor has made, it's hard to put your finger on any one thing and be sure and expect that things are really going to turn out in a certain way.
All right. Well, we will then stay tuned and be checking back with you regularly. Jessica, thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Jessica Jones, Capital Bureau Chief at WUNC. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Coming up next, a couple of nerds put Raleigh on the map. Stay tuned.